This is Worldviews. I'm Suzak Rolat. I'm here in London with Clark Stroud. He's joining me today. Thanks for being with me, Clark.
Great to be here.
So even though we're in London, we're paying attention to the news, of course. The big news in Europe is the mine explosion in Turkey. So this, of course, has sparked some outrage, protests. The miners are threatening to strike over safety concerns. Something like this, of course, always raises questions about safety issues. And even Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan made this connection and, in fact, connected what happened in Turkey to mines here in England when he said that there's no such thing as accident-free work and that mining is clearly a dangerous job to do. And he listed off accidents that have happened in the past in England, in English coal mines. But at the same time, English coal mines were in the news here this week, Clark, talking about mine closures even before this even happened.
Yes. Two of the three deep coal mines that remain in England are slated to close, which is creating a lot of conversation over here, really from an economic standpoint, not so much safety, but the loss of jobs as well as, income tax revenue. But I think what was interesting was one of the indicators for the closure of these mines was cheaper American coal coming over. As America moves towards kind of shale-based oil and natural gas, what's happened is American coal is cheaper, and so it's not profitable anymore for these mines to operate.
Yeah, the UK announcement this week about the closing of these two mines was something that's also been not well received in this country. As you mentioned, the losing of jobs, losing of tax revenue, and the economic consequences of that. But then there's that trade-off, right, between these companies being able to maintain them, the cost of maintaining them, particularly in terms of the safety issue, but at the same time losing those jobs and revenue. But coal is being traded on the global market, and you see that the British are suffering the consequences of that. But you see mines in other parts of the world, like in Turkey or perhaps in China, where we've had some recent disasters and accidents as well. There's a lot of pressure on this industry.
A lot of pressure. I liken it to American steel and what happened. You know, the great steel giants of the 19th and early 20th century. We watched international steel and cheaper steel come over and really change the face of what we now call the Rust Belt in the U.S. And so England's really having to struggle through kind of making decisions about how they're going to go forward and what their commitment's going to be to coal. And ultimately, in a free market, it's winning out in terms of, closing down two of the last three mines here.
Well, this leads us, Clark, to perhaps think about some of our impressions of London this week, and particularly these economic impressions as we're talking about economic issues in this country. I mean, the one thing that's really struck me as we've been here, and I've been to London many times, and so it just keeps happening every time I come here, how diverse this city is and how we see people from around the world speaking lots of different languages, obviously from lots of cultural backgrounds. Very, very fascinating to see.
Indeed. I'm amazed at the diversity in this city. 40% of the inhabitants of this city are not Londoners, and it's an incredibly international city. It's very cosmopolitan. But I think what's interesting about it is the diversity. While there's ethnic diversity and cultural diversity, there's very little socioeconomic diversity. I mean, these are wealthier people that are living here because this city is so expensive.
That's clearly the case. I mean, even though this is a great tourist destination and people of all kinds of socioeconomic backgrounds could come and visit, they definitely can't live here. I mean, we met some alums this week who were talking about how expensive it is to live here, how much they pay for a flat, and how nobody on their street is English. So this is something that I think we'll continue to watch as London and as England changes in the years to come.
Yeah, this is Europe's most populous city, and it's attracting Europeans from all over the continent. The alumna that you were referencing, she pays $8,000 a month for 1,000 square feet in a flat, and it's just mind-boggling. And so ultimately, the people that are here are people that have means.
Well, that's for sure. It's definitely an interesting city, but an expensive one, and something that that they'll have to continue to deal with as they grow and develop. Well, thank you, Clark, for being with me today as we continue on our four-city tour of Europe with OU students. We will be reporting again soon.
Thanks for having me.